Local news and weather every hour on WWGH Radio are supported by Ohio Health.
If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake.
Adam Lepp!
Yes, Adam Lepp, that is my name. And talking today's top technology topics, that's my game. Thank you very much for listening to The Talking Place, WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Of course, that stands for Frequency Modulation, although I would say that it stands for Fantastic, Marvelous Radio, right here in the great historic city of Marion. But no matter where you are in the world, you can listen online by the magic and power of the internet at our website, WWGH1071.com. What a pleasure to have you with us on this very spring-like April 23rd, 2019. My name is Adam Lepp, as the jingle singers so aptly and expertly explained to you. On this show, we can talk about many different things. Technology, computers, smartphones, phones that really aren't very smart, automation, automated vehicles, self-driving cars, also what they're known as, robotics, artificial intelligence, keeping your computer safe at your home, office, car, pocket, neighbor's house, ex's house, what have you. Those are all good topics, but as you may know, in addition to hosting two technology-oriented talk shows here at the station, I also talk politics, current events, and history, fun facts. I am on every Monday morning between about 10:13 a.m. and 11 with mid-morning coffee break on this very same station. Dr. Ron Feynman, our official WWGH presidentologist, usually joins me for that fine program. You'll also hear me a few times during the day with the obituary report. Sometimes I help out with the station promos, and yes, whenever it's necessary, I even help to clean the bathrooms. Kind of a team effort here at The Talking Place. I was also on with Scott Spears, the interviewer to the stars, between about 12:13 p.m. and 1, talking, again, mostly politics, the town hall Democratic event on CNN yesterday, and who knows what else, and of course anything that you're going to find me participating in. I don't really take myself too seriously, and there will be frequent wisecracks just to keep things fun. I'm on Facebook Live Video. If you're already a Facebook friend of mine, great. If you're not, feel free to request my friendship. I'm a fairly friendly guy, and I'll be happy to add you. Look for Adam Lepp, or Adam the Computer Guy, I believe is my Facebook stage name. You can watch me do this show right here in the studio. Of course, it's windy outside, so when I went from my vehicle to the studio, my hair got messed up. So, Joe Biden, if you're listening, you probably will not want to smell my hair because it just looks pretty horrible due to the wind, but that's okay. I try to, you know I have that face for radio, so I at least try to look halfway presentable, and I guess that's all part of the fun anyway. So feel free to listen online, over the air if you're in the Marion area, or of course watch the Facebook Live video. We have many ways of communicating with fine listeners like yourself. Give me a call if you want to ask a question about the computers at your home, office, pocket, car, neighbor's house, ex's house, maybe advice about a new computer or software item to purchase, or maybe wondering if you have a virus or an infection or something else that would be an uninvited visitor. Don't be shy. Pick up the phone. I don't bite. And not only that, you don't have to pay. We actually offer free technical support on this show. How about that for coolness? And the phone number is 740-383-WWGH, 383-9944. I'd like to thank a friend of mine from the Cincinnati area, Mr. Travis, for watching the video and listening to the show. Thank you, Travis, for participating as a listener. It is always appreciated. So what's going on right now in the world of technology? Of course, the mayor, Mr. Mark Zuckerberg, is probably counting all of his trillions. The folks at Apple are making lots of money, and Bill Gates is enjoying his retirement. But Speaking of social media, there has been a lot of talk about privacy violations, about the GDPR in the European Union, making sure that everything is on the up and up. On Easter Sunday, in the wake of devastating attacks that killed hundreds of people, Sri Lanka shut down a large portion of its internet. President's Secretary Udaya Senavaratne said officials had decided to temporarily block sites and apps, including some of the big ones: Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, they're all the same company, YouTube, and Viber, until investigations concluded, something they claimed was a precautionary measure to curb misinformation. In a statement, Senavaratne said that they, quote, decided to temporarily block social media sites and plan to reinstate them as soon as investigations into the events were completed. It's part of a larger pattern of censorship and media coercion in Sri Lanka and other countries. Now, they've spent years blocking news sites and shut down social media briefly last year after mob violence broke out against Muslim minority groups. Sri Lanka's moves against press outlets have been widely condemned, but the social media shutdowns are less controversial. After years of escalating warnings about misinformation running wild on Facebook, shutting the site down as an emergency didn't seem so unreasonable. It's a new understanding of the government's role online, and for anti-censorship activists, it can be quite scary. And again, how do government, social media, politics, gossip, how does all that stuff intermingle? It's a complicated situation and a very tangled web that we weave. I want to thank John for also watching my video. John, and being in the south side of the great capital city of Columbus, Ohio, and Travis in the Cincinnati area, thank you so much for your compliment. You are the perfect voice for the radio. Travis, I don't think I ever told you that I also do a very good impersonation of Dr. Ruth, of Howard Cosell, a not very good impersonation of Ronald Reagan or Jimmy Carter. I've not been able to work on Donald Trump. One of my favorite impersonations is Julia Child. So if Travis or anybody else would like to hear my impersonations of any of those people, feel free to let me know. As I said, I don't take myself too seriously, so I don't mind. I don't mind acting out a little bit on the clowns, on the clownish side. Initial media reactions to Sri Lanka's shutdown largely focused on the well-established dangers of unmoderated platforms. An article from The Guardian noted that the situation demonstrated how, quote, U.S.-based technology companies' failure to rein in misinformation, extremism, and incitement to violence has come to outweigh the claimed benefits of social media. Recode co-founder and New York Times columnist Kara Swisher confessed that when she first heard about the blocks, her reaction was, quote, good. Now, not unexpectedly, not everybody cheered this decision, but there's a clear trend toward emergency limits on the flow of information, which worries many activists. Adrian Shabazz, research director for technology and democracy at the nonprofit Freedom House, which is a U.S. organization that conducts research on political freedom and human rights, said, it's alarming to see the practice of blocking social media become normalized around the world as a policy tool. I'd like to thank some of my fellow staff members at The Talking Place for watching my video. Gosh, I'm starting to feel important. We have our official weatherman, Mr. Zach F., watching the video. We thank Zach F. for his outstanding weather reporting. an outstanding production, which, and I kind of help with that, but he's the main producer of our hourly weather reports and weather facts, which I encourage you to listen to. Take notes if you want to. We might even test you on it at some time. And the very, very semi-famous Chad H., also known as Weasel Boy. We want to thank him for watching the video. Weasel will be having a show starting at this station in the first Saturday of May, every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 10. Don't want to miss it. Folks, it will be Bigley. Donald himself might want to take a break from his golfing and listen, because I tell you, gonna love that show. I myself am counting the seconds until the Weasel Boy show hits the WWGH airwaves. So anyway, we are talking about the online world, censorship, government interference, social media, and what's going on in Sri Lanka. Julie Owono, she is the executive director of Internet Without Borders. She said, "We are seeing a growing acceptance of broad censorship as a response to hate and misinformation, whether through full-scale service shutdowns or regulation." In her words, censors are responding to real problems. Social media has increasingly been weaponized to attack minority groups in countries like Myanmar, India, and Sri Lanka. Some interesting commentary from her and someone who does know this, know about what's going on very much. She said, 2 years ago, it was easy to dismiss the justifications of fake news and hate used by repressive regimes because democracies showed the example by not doing it, and both were not that challenging at the time. Things are different now. Recent legislations in the European Union and the genocide in Myanmar are giving more confidence to governments worldwide to censor in the name of the fight against fake news and hate. Let me know what you think about this. How should the government take a role? The GDPR and the EU, we've talked about that quite a bit, and because the events in Sri Lanka and in other countries across the globe. Interesting topic. Send me a message on Facebook, even on my live video, which I also want to thank CJ in southeastern Ohio, where it's probably a lot warmer than it is here, in the Athens, Ohio area. CJ, thank you very much for watching. Always appreciated. Anyone who wishes to call in and comment or ask me a question, feel free to do so, 740-383-9944. Concerns over online misinformation have already made it into law in many countries. Sri Lanka is not the only country to block Facebook during a crisis. Facebook's transparency report shows that other countries like Cameroon, Indonesia, and Iran have seen internet disruptions as well, according to a Facebook transparency report. France, Singapore, and Russia have passed laws designed to curb fake news on social media. The UK recently proposed a fine on internet platforms that do not remove harmful content. And after a mass shooting in New Zealand, the government blocked a handful of sites that hosted video of the attack. Danny O'Brien is the international director of the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation. He acknowledges that propaganda and misinformation is amplified by social media's vast scale. He said, in terms of the sheer numbers of people involved in that, then it's definitely a sort of quantitative difference. At the same time, he notes that hate mongers have always taken advantage of mass communication systems, and repressive governments don't draw a line between harmful misinformation and legitimate criticism. The arguments about blocking particular websites or silencing particular voices are always framed in terms of misinformation, counterterrorism, and protecting the safety of the population. Now governments can make these arguments with less fear of international pushback. And according to Danny O'Brien from the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation. More broadly, however, there is overwhelming evidence that social media blackouts can make the situation worse, leading to increased violence in parts of the world that already struggle with limited media freedom and access to non-state-sponsored news and media resources. Jan Rydzak is the Stanford Research Scholar and Associate Director of the University's Global Digital Policy Incubator. Anybody from Stanford, I can assure you, is a very smart cookie. According to Jan Rydzak, blackouts are more often than not counterintuitive when implemented as a measure to combat misinformation or prevent riots or violence. This misinformation, for one, still travels in the situation of an information vacuum and at the same time shuts down, actually exacerbate or increased levels of violence, and not just for a single day, but for several days in a row. In combination with all the other arguments that have been made, if a measure like this, which is draconian in its nature, has this much impact on a society and violates numerous fundamental human rights, why implement it at all? And I thank you, Zach, for your compliments about the show and your wisecracks. It's always good to have a fellow wise guy or wise girl on the air telling me that I should try to say that five times really fast, which is going to be twice as bad as talking about Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. It'll be much harder than that, because P is actually a fairly easy letter compared to the other ones. And also want to remind folks about, once again, about Zach and his excellent weather forecasts at the top of every hour with the hourly features, weather facts, tips, safety tips, and, of course, our excellent forecast, which continues to get better. Be sure to visit Zach's website, weather43302.com, for more information. Good stuff, I can assure you. Anyway, we quoted Jan Rydzak, the expert from Stanford University in California. Jan Rydzak said that last year there were nearly 200 instances of internet shutdowns, primarily in India, and that number has been steadily increasing annually, with instances occurring around the world. Last month, Jan Rydzak compiled one of the largest reports researching the effects of internet shutdowns and discovered that they do little to extinguish the violence and misinformation that governments use them to combat. Extremist groups often circumvent shutdowns by using a virtual private network, a VPN, and that's according to BuzzFeed News, and continue to post the false news. In turn, these shutdowns just leave older people and those who don't know how to use VPNs in the dark. I want to thank Sandy R. Now, Sandy R. is one of my most interesting listeners, and she said to call but wasn't sure what to call about. Well, first of all, Sandy, the number is 740-383-9944. I want to share a little secret about Sandy. Hope you don't mind, Sandy, but back when I was in professional radio in northern New York, where it's kind of cold every month except June, July, and August, I played music from the mid-80s because it was the mid to late 80s. And Sandy was a regular listener. She and her sister and her brother, they listened all the time. And you're talking over 30 years ago. And Sandy, I still thank you for being such a faithful listener. I know you really enjoyed my show and enjoyed my presentation, enjoyed the music. Because, you know, back in the mid-80s when Madonna, Bruce Springsteen, Phil Collins, Kenny Rogers, all those great musical acts ruled the airwaves, music really was good. The rock, the R&B, the country, it was all outstanding. And I'm not afraid to say, today's music stinks, at least 99% of it does. And back then, playing a top 40 hit meant playing something that was good. And again, Sandy, thank you not only for listening back in the mid-80s, but listening now. Again, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And That's part of the fun of being in the broadcasting business. But again, the phone number is 740-383-9944. Feel free to call. We can talk about this issue, government, politics, current events, how they intermingle with social media and communicating over the internet, or pick a topic. We can talk about the Democratic presidential candidates on CNN yesterday, or any kind of a current event. Or one thing you can also do, because I'm such a music aficionado, my specialty field of expertise is 1973 to 1987. Feel free to ask me any musical trivia question from that era. Any kind of music, and R&B, country, pop, hard rock, you name it, and see if I can guess the answer. I won't use Google or any kind of a reference. I will use my brain. That is one of my expertise fields. I want to thank Michael. I believe he's in Oklahoma City. He actually works for the minor league baseball team there, which is extremely cool, acknowledging that music is not what it used to be. And Michael, you could be preaching to the choir. Yes, music. I mean, there are some good musical acts out there, but they can't hold a candle to the stuff of the 70s and the 80s. So I agree with that. And I thank you also for your service to your local baseball team. I think minor league baseball is one of the things that makes America great, and I appreciate the job that you do there for your local team. So not afraid to give you a plug, because you certainly deserve it. And Sandy also indicates that things haven't really changed since the mid to late 80s, because she's listening, her mom is listening, her sister Michelle is listening, just like they did to me back between 1985 and 1987. Of course, back then I played music, and it was good music again. Madonna, Wham, Bruce Springsteen, Phil Collins, that kind of stuff. Almost every song was good. And at this station, I talk, but that's okay. It's still the same voice. Maybe I sound a little bit older, but that's because I am older. I don't get older, I get better. Zach has asked me a trivia question. Now, Zach, I'm not sure this trivia question is 73 to 87, but since you're a little bit younger than I am, I'll go ahead and let it slide. Your question is, who is the original singer of Friends in Low Places, made famous by Garth Brooks? I'm going to guess David Allan Coe, whom I believe is from Ohio, but that probably is wrong. And if it's not David Allan Coe, I have no idea whom it might be. If you want to give me a hint, that's fine. Is it an old school country singer? Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson. Give me a clue if you want, but you may have stumped me. But that's okay. I like the challenge, and I like exercising brain cells, because if you don't exercise your brain, it atrophies like any other body part. So I don't mind that whatsoever. So we've been talking about governmental, in addition to kind of talking about who listens to my show and what else we do here at this great station. We were just talking about government, internet censorship, and what's fake news, what's not. Certainly a hot topic, a controversial topic, and also a sensitive topic. Feel free to chime in. You can leave a message on my Facebook video, like a couple listeners have. Send me an email, or pick up the phone and call me, 740-383-9944. You can email me. By the way, we have a private email server. And unlike other private email servers, we don't delete any message. In fact, I'm the person who runs the private email server. In addition to the other 172 things that I do at the station, I'm also the webmaster and email host. So feel free to send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com. Also want to let you know that our new addition to the staff, Mr. Weaselboy, he can also be emailed, weasel@wwgh1071.com. Send him an email at least to say hi and just verify that everything is working okay. Michael from, again, I believe he's in Oklahoma City, if I'm not mistaken. He has asked me a question through our Facebook video. Your thoughts on the Democratic race. Who would be the front runner in your opinion as of now? Well, that's a good question. I really do not think that Bernie Sanders has the popularity that the polls might indicate. I've made no secret, I cannot stand him. I have no tolerance for socialism, not necessarily social programs, but the idea of socialism. And I feel that his politics are a gateway to a much more controlling kind of a government, something which he has admitted that he supported back in the 70s. And I also find him annoying and a bad speaker, and he talks too much with his hands. Sorry, but, you know, I talk like it is. I don't believe he is as much of a front runner as the polls or he himself may lead you to believe. I personally think that when Joe Biden declares his formal candidacy, that he will be increasing rapidly in popularity. As a mainstream Democrat, somebody with good experience, I would have no problem with the guy. As I think on a lot of issues, I would tend to agree. And I think, again, despite some of his shortcomings, none of the candidates are perfect, he might be a good choice. Other candidates that we saw yesterday during the town hall meetings, Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, and, of course, Kamala Harris, they are good speakers. They tend to kind of tell people what they want to hear. I would love to see a female president, but I'm not sure about either of those three particular candidates. However, we shall see. Mayor Pete, highly intelligent, very interesting gentleman. I don't discount his current position. I think he is qualified to be president. Again, as smart as the guy is, innovative as he is, he's been an outstanding mayor in South Bend. As the headlines have kind of said, he's the best mayor, most interesting mayor that you've not heard of before. I kind of see him as a dark horse, but, you know, they said the same thing about Obama. And look what happened, a two-term president who's considered one of our top, in the top third of our best presidents. So you really don't know. But I would say, bottom line is, Michael, in answer to your question, let's see Joe Biden officially declare his candidacy, and let's see how he starts jumping up in the polls. 2 to 3 weeks down the road, if he doesn't show the kind of progress that I think he will, I would not be hesitate to say that Mayor Pete might be showing a position close to the lead. And I don't see Sanders keeping his position that he has now. But, you know, I'm just a goofy chemistry major. I can't tell you if what I'm saying is hogwash or could actually be the truth. I'd say continue to listen to this station, listen to other talk shows, read the paper, talk to people who may have more of a knowledge of the situation than I do, and we'll see what happens. Bottom line is, it will be a very interesting race. It'll be an active one with a lot of name calling, and may the best man or best woman win. I'm sure we'll all be surprised like we have in the last couple elections, and that's all part of the fun. Current time here is 45 minutes after 2 in the p.m. Thank you very much for listening. And Zach has indicated that I was not correct in my attempted solving of his question about Friends in Low Places. The answer is Mark Chestnut, who released Friends in Low Places before Garth Brooks. And I defer to you and your outstanding musical knowledge, Mr. Zach. And thank you for increasing my IQ by a fraction of a percentage point, stimulating a brain cell or two, and providing the answer. Anybody else who'd like to try to stump me with a music trivia question, preferably from between 73 and 87, feel free to call me, 740-383-9944, or watch my live video on Facebook and send a question through the chat system, like Zach did, or again, feel free. What else can you do? Yes, you can send me an email. I won't be able to answer the question right now, but I can certainly respond back to you. Again, adam@wwgh1071.com. So what else is going on here at the Talking Place, WWGH Radio? We have the lovely Linda Sims coming on the air later in the afternoon, as well as Pastor Steve Whitaker with the Pastor's Spot. So just even though I leave the airways at 3 p.m., don't despair. Much more great radio is on the way. In the previous hour, our very own interviewer to the stars, Mr. Scott Spears, spoke with legendary TV judge Joe Brown. And if you didn't get a chance to hear the show, that's okay. We won't take any points off. We won't send you a ticket. You can go to our website at WWGH1071.com. Go to the show archives and click on the Now with Scott Spears section, and you can listen to the show. I do believe a call is coming in. Let's see if I still know how to use the equipment. Good afternoon. You are on the Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Hello, are you there, caller?
Country music. Mama tried.
Mama tried. Is that a... I'm not really an expert on country as much as I am on pop and R&B and hard rock. Is that a song title?
Yeah. You want me to tell you?
No. Give me a clue. I like when I get a clue, I can something and increase my knowledge and, you know, add a...
Okay, I'll give you the Haggard.
Merle Haggard, right?
Right.
Well, that's wonderful. I really appreciate that question. And again, all genres are welcome. You know, country music.
I can do one more.
Yeah, please. Yeah, country music is one thing that makes America great. It was founded in this country. We have so many great musicians. Such a diverse bunch of people. You know, crossover artists like Kenny Rogers and even Lionel Richie is a good example of a crossover. Country music is one of the things that makes America great. Believe me. What was your other question?
That's what I got. Okay. Who's going to fill those shoes? Who's going to fill their shoes?
Yeah, I've heard the song, but I can't. Is it somebody current? Can you give me a clue?
Let me give you a last name on it.
Okay.
Jones.
It's not Tom Jones. He's not really a country singer. Grandpa Jones?
Uh-uh.
Not Grandpa. Jones. It's not Ricky Lee Jones was a one-hit wonder, but she was more pop. Is male or female, and can give me the first letter of the name. Male or female, or can you give me, like, the first letter of the first name? You still there? You still there, caller? Hello? Okay. Just give us a call back. I think we lost the connection, but give us a ring back. We will happily take your call. And again, Stump the DJ here, Stump the talk show host. We would love to have you ask a question about music trivia, any genre, including country, which is probably the one that I'm weakest on, but I still know quite a bit. 73 to 87 would be the preferred period. You can also talk about technology, ask a question about your computer, smartphone, etc. Security questions, you know, maybe you have a virus. Just ask me and I will do my best to try to answer for you. Or, of course, we can always talk about politics, current events, history, or pick a topic. Zach F. has asked me another question, and this one I know. The answer is Billy Joel, because he certainly would be a defining musician from 73 to 87, who still has an influence and still, I think, has had a tremendous impact on American music. Recently, cast members from Avengers Endgame, whom I've not heard of, did a remake on a song from the 1980s by a well-known New York icon. Who sang We Didn't Start the Fire? Well, again, Billy Joel. I pretty much know all his songs, so if anybody else wants to try to stump me with a Billy Joel question, feel free to do that. Michael from Oklahoma says, 2016 or 2020 election, what will be the worst in regards to name-calling? Always good for primetime TV. Well, I tell you, Michael, what I think may happen is not something that I can say on this radio station at 2:30 in the afternoon. So think of a word that they might use. It's hard to fathom, as I get the feeling the censors will be ready to hit the button to remove any offensive language, because there will be some. We've already seen that Donald Trump is not afraid to say words that you don't say in polite company. And I think we're going to see some more of that. We have Elizabeth Warren, and she's not one afraid to run her mouth. I mean, she's not really one to say cuss words, but I could see it as a possibility. I think she might get so upset with something that Donald or one of her Democratic opponents says, she might say something which she might find to be offensive. And, of course, we know about Donald. He can have a bit of a potty mouth. So whatever it is, I think it'll be a multiple up. There'll be multiple occasions where the censors will have to press the button to censor out words that you can't say on TV or radio. And we shall find out. And I thank you, Michael. You agree. And I think we pretty much can, Republican or Democrat, regardless of how we feel. And, you know, I'm an independent. So, you know, independents have kind of become someone who hates everybody. But there are some candidates that I find at least somewhat appealing. They get at least a B+. And I think we can all agree, regardless of political affiliation, there will be mudslinging. There will be words that you don't want to say in front of your 10-year-old. So get the soap and water ready to wash the candidates' mouths out with. I think we're gonna need to do that. About 9 minutes before the 3 o'clock hour, here at the Talking Place, WWGH Radio, Adam Lepp here with the Adam the Computer Guy radio program, talking about computers and technology and anything else that you'd like to discuss. I'm on a live video via my Facebook account. Again, Adam Lepper, my handle, which is Adam the Computer Guy. Feel free to listen. Feel free to request my friendship if you already are not a friend of mine. What else is going around in the world of technology, you might ask? You know, income tax season, thankfully, that's over. We can kind of get back to the business of preparing for spring, spring cleaning. You know, July 4th, Memorial Day, coming soon, as time always seems to fly. In the realm of news, in the world of technology, let's take a look and see what Tim Cook. Now, Tim Cook, again, is the CEO of Apple. And Donald Trump calls him Tim Apple, which I guess is okay. First of all, you can cook apples, and you can cook apples because you can make apple pie. So maybe he kind of got confused by the name, which seems kind of tasty. And, of course, he's a CEO of Apple. So Tim Apple would kind of like be calling, Bill Gates is no longer the CEO of Microsoft. But when he was a CEO of Microsoft, you can call him Bill Microsoft. So I guess that's why Donald referred to Tim Cook as Tim Apple. But whatever his name is. Apple Chief Executive Officer Tim Cook suggested today that for the average person to have his or her data privacy protected, technology needs to be regulated by the government. He said, "We all have to be intellectually honest, and we have to admit that what we're doing is not working. Technology needs to be regulated. There are now too many examples of where there are no rails have resulted in a great damage to society." So again, we need to regulate, and this is from a guy who is CEO of one of the world's largest and most powerful, most prosperous technology companies. We talked about the GDPR, the General Data Privacy Regulations, in the European Union. Tim Cook pointed to Europe's stringent GDPR data privacy rules as an example that U.S. lawmakers could slowly emulate, while suggesting that Europe could continue to improve on those rules as well. He said Europe is more likely to come up with something. GDPR is a step in the right direction. He said, "We're advocating strongly for regulation. I do not see another path at this point." At the same time, Cook said Apple is also responsible for improving data privacy for users, a topic that's recently become part of the company's marketing strategy as well. He said, "We cannot look for the government to solve all of our problems." He said that Apple doesn't have a political action committee, meaning an organization that helps fund political candidates. Apple's probably the only large company, or one of the few, I would think, that doesn't have a political action committee. I refuse to have one because it should not exist. And that comes from Tim Cook, also known as Tim Apple, the CEO of Apple. Michael from Oklahoma has a computer question for me. Dell Inspiron Tower. I bought new power cord, etc. Won't come on, but does acknowledge the cord. Got a lot of radio stuff on there and was wanting to know what the issue could be. Well, I would say try a new power supply. The existing power supply might be too weak. It's possible not everything was plugged in properly, or one of the outlets, one of the cords that you plug into, the hard drive, the sound card, other parts of the computer, might be on the fritz. Power supplies are $39, $49. They're inexpensive, so try a new power supply and verify that might be the issue. Sometimes, this happens with HPs, but other brands can have this also. There's a fuse of some kind, like a switch, that you have to reset. It's on the board somewhere, so it's kind of hard to tell you where it might be, but just look online for a manual. You need to reset that, and that'll let the power supply function again. So I would try a couple of those tricks. If you can't get the computer to come back on and you need your data, pull the hard drive out, attach it via a dock or another connector to another computer, and you can copy the data that way, assuming the hard drive is okay. Michael also dabbles in radio, so he has radio stuff on there that he wants, and that's the best suggestion I can give you. It's kind of hard to troubleshoot that without seeing it, but hopefully that will be some food for thought. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy on The Talking Place, WGH Radio 107.1 on the FM dial here in the great historic city of Mary, and also broadcasting online via the magic and power and fabulousness of the internet at WGH107.1.com. Together every Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 3 to talk today's top and trendy technology topics. And if you like my voice, you like me, or you don't like me and you want to go ahead and hear what I have to say anyway, that's okay. I am also on Monday between approximately 10:13 a.m. and 11 to talk politics, current events, history, and all that good stuff. I am usually joined by our official presidentologist, Dr. Ronald L. Fineman, who hangs his hat in Boca Raton in the Sunshine State of Florida. And we call that show a Fine-er Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam and the Professor. So be sure to listen to that program as well as this program, all about technology. You might learn something. You might swear at your radio a couple times, which is okay. We like controversy. We like dialogue. We like opinions. But no matter what happens, I can assure you we will stimulate a brain cell or two. With the weather warming up and the spring is about 5 weeks in from its beginning, around the 21st of March. The Marion County Park District has a lot of things going on during the last several days of April. You can listen to the Charlie Evers program on Thursday between 10 a.m. and noon. Charlie has a guest from the Park District on this Thursday, as he does most Thursdays. I believe it's only occasional Thursdays, but we do like to have these Park Department visitors, and so maybe we can get that a little more frequently, as they're always interesting people. So, 10 a.m. to noon with Charlie Evers coming up this Thursday in a couple days. A Parks District person joins Charlie on the air. Talk about wildlife and other great things about nature and the world around us. Earth Day celebration at the Eco Center between noon and 4 p.m. this Sunday the 28th. Also from the Marion County Park District. Good stuff just for you. Winding down here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio program, thanking you very much for watching my live video, for listening, participating. Hopefully I have stimulated a brain cell or two and started some dialogue. That's what live radio is all about. Coming up at 4 o'clock, it is Linda, and then it is with Whitaker. Have a great rest of your day.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, El Marion, Ohio. The voices you want to hear.